A reading from the Common English Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 to 22. Although I'm free from all people, I make myself a slave to all people to recruit more of them. I act like a Jew to the Jews so I can recruit Jews. I act like I'm under the law to those under the law, so I can recruit those who are under the law, though I myself am not under the law. I act like I'm outside the law to those who are outside the law, so I can recruit those outside the law, though I'm not outside the law of God, but rather under the law of Christ. I act weak to the weak, so I can recruit the weak. I have become all things to all people, so I could save some by all possible means. Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. The house of my holy parent has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me so that where I am, you will be too. You know the way to the place I'm going. Thomas asked, Sovereign One, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to our mother except through me. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. All right. Well, welcome all to part four of six of the series I'm doing on the great ends of the church. So again, if you are visiting with us for the first time, we're just over halfway through on these kind of six foundations about what it means to be Presbyterian and kind of these foundations of faith that we live out in a variety of ways as a denomination, but I think important for us to understand, you know, the history and tradition about why we've done what we've done. And so I've been walking through this over the summer. And again, we have a few more. So again, we're on number four, preservation of the truth. I'll talk a little bit about the other three just very quickly, because in case you have not been here. The problem with doing series always is that there's an assumption that everybody's at church every Sunday, and we all know that that is not true. So I'll walk through those in a minute. So here's the preservation of the truth. The question for me around this is, the truth is kind of, you know, this idea of what do we believe? What is God kind of telling us? And what do we hold as true? Capital T, lowercase t, we'll talk about that in a minute. But should what we believe stay around? I mean, that's a fundamental question. What we believe, not what we do, what we believe, and then somewhat how that gets lived out. But the beliefs that we offer and have transformed us, should they stick around? Should they be around? And this great end of the church would tell us, yes, that they should, that we preserve the truth. Now we get into this question about what is truth, right? What qualifies as truth to each of us? So, you know, I'd be curious to know what truth means to you. You can leave that in the chat. Like, is it a way? Like, are you comfortable with multiple truths? Is it the way? Is there just one truth about whatever, and that's it? Or is it kind of all the above? And I think that is indicator of personality, maybe, or just kind of our view of the world. And maybe it's a constant kind of tension between confidence in what we believe and a willingness to be open. Sometimes it's a conflict between, no, this is the only way that it can be, and all these other things are just simply wrong. I mean, I think there's all kinds of things that get mixed in this, especially in a context like ours, where I think in general, we try to be open to the truths that others may hold. So that is, you know, I think a core question for us is, you know, what does truth mean? And then, as you know, I care about belief, but also then how does it make us behave? What do we do if we believe in a truth, and not only a truth, but a truth that must be preserved or must live on, that we believe in it that much that we don't want it to die? Again, we're not talking about the church itself, but a commitment to express the nature of our faith. So this is not about preservation of the church. Remember at the very beginning in episode one, series one, I listed some things in our book of order, our constitution, which isn't necessarily the most exciting thing you want to hear about is the constitution of the church. But at the very beginning of what it means to be the church, remember, it says we are the church, even at the risk of our own death. So we're not actually called to preserve the church. And I know that feels a little bit strange coming from someone who believes in and that churches can, should grow. But our intent, our calling is not about survival of an institution. But I do think it's about preserving an understanding of faith that we believe is true, that we believe is what God is calling the church to be in the world. But it's not about our survival, which is very different, right? So I don't want us to hear this as preservation of the truth equals preservation and survival of the church. And because I think when the truth is spoken, those who are drawn to it will be drawn to it. And so we speak the truth and the church comes about, not we are the church first and we survive, so then we can speak the truth. This is helpful as we think about this bounded and centered reality that I've been bringing up every time and thinking about how we gather as community. What does it mean for us? And I think it's easy to see bounded set, right, as negative, as purely regulatory, and the centered set is freer and more positive, right? Whether or not you like either of them or whether or not our reality is either of them, I think it's very easy because sometimes bounded can be negative and centered can be a little confusing. And other times, like this is a great example of where bounded does make sense versus a centered reality that can be in parallel with that. So again, if you're visiting with us, bounded set, a reminder is like, what do I believe? That, you know, we are a community based on agreements, norms, styles, rules. It can be very regulatory. And again, that does not have to be bad. And then there's the centered, it's relational. Do we care about the same things? It's based on more experience, more relationship, belief. It's much more nebulous and vague. And if you want to attach numbers and labels, it's much more difficult to do. But that's a relational kind of way of being together. And this, as we've gone through, right, great end one was about Jesus, specific doctrine versus experiencing and the nature of Christ. Two was this, you know, how do we gather for shelter and nurture? That are there, do we put prerequisites upon how we gather and nurture each other? Who do we nurture? And, or is it because we've just experienced each other? Three was worship, was yesterday, and there were no worship wars that broke out, thank God. But you know, what does it mean for us to experience worship together? What are bounded understandings and what are experiential ones? And as we explore what worship has looked like in our experience over the last year and what it may look like in the future. But our fourth great end is preservation of the truth. The bounded behavior versus the centered behavior. I think I believe in bounded behavior in this regard, bounded relationship, because this passage that Paul writes, a lot of people have a problem with this passage, kind of like, well, you know, kind of Paul's just being all two-faced all the time, right? You're this way over here, and you're this way over here, and this way, and it almost feels like we're like bait and switching people. But what Paul is saying is like, there is this truth that is so important to get out there that we are willing to shift the ways that he speaks and talks and everything, but he doesn't step outside of the truth of Christ that has brought it, that we believe, right? So how I translate this always, people will, you know, one of my least favorite phrases in church world is all are welcome. And I think intellectually, culturally, we love the idea that everybody is welcome into a space. But the reality is, not everybody is welcome into every other space, even those ones that say they are. And I don't actually believe that welcome is a free for all for anybody to come into a space and behave or do whatever they want, right? That there are some norms and some rules even that we expect or hope in order to create a space that is meaningful, so that we are bounded by behavior. And I'll be very specific about this. People ask me at times, well, you know, so-and-so, are people who believe things that are different welcome in the space? I'm like, yes, certainly. If you believe certain things, come into this space. It's a Christian space. It's a progressive space. It's a social justice space. It's all of those spaces. Welcome. But are all behaviors welcome? No. I do not believe that when we are creating a space, I'll give you a great example, right? If we claim to create a space that is open, and not just open, but affirming and welcoming to those who embody an LGBTQIA humanity and space in the world, behavior that denies that humanity, attacks that humanity, dismisses it because of some doctrine or belief that we are not all created in the image of God, and how we understand our gender and our sexual orientation, that is something that can be debated. That is behavior that is not welcome. You can believe certain things, but that behavior is one that is a bounded set for us, for me. Now, we can disagree on that, and we can certainly debate that, but that's what we look at when bounded sets can provide an opportunity for more healthy, whole kinds of experiences. And we're also centered on belief, which is a more vague space. And I think it fits us, right? We're centered on this way of seeking Christ in the world. And how do we think about Christ's connection to the holy and divine? We're centered on this very vague belief, because you and I, we don't have a checklist of things that you must believe about Jesus in order to be welcome to this community. At least nobody's shared that with me yet. But yet we are a Christian space that is struggling and wrestling and realizing and opening ourselves up to the ways that Christ may connect us to the holy and the divine. And so we understand, I don't teach, profess other religious traditions as my own in this space. That would be disingenuous. So I, for me, understand that my connection to the holy is through Christ. Now, is that the only connection? Certainly not. Is that the only way to understand God? No, but for me, it is, right? I come to the Creator, the Father, the Mother, however you want to describe that holy power and that created entity through Jesus. And that's how I understand truth in terms of being centered on belief. So I ask you, what are the truths that you bring into this space? What do you believe to be true? What do we do to preserve it? I'm going to try something right now, which might be a little bit, we'll just see how we do. But I want to know what do you think we believe about the truth that we share in this place. So I'm going to give all the introverts like 15, 10 seconds. I won't give them much time. And I'm going to go back to share. And I don't want diatribes and kind of explanation. I would just love in a minute, if you, like, what do you think, and we're not going to agree, this is not a vote. If you say it, it doesn't mean it's true. But what do you believe that we hold as true in this community known as First Presbyterian Church of Palo Alto? So take just a second. I'm honoring the introverts in our space. I'm going to stop sharing. And I'm just going to invite you. This can be dangerous with this many people. Unmute yourself and share a sentence or two. What do you think is a truth or a truth that we hold here at First Presbyterian Church of Palo Alto? The floor is yours.
I'll try two words. Christian civilization.
Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Seek the common good for all humanity.
We're all children of God. honor the least of
all philosophy.
Being a follower of Jesus means working for justice in the world.
Acting on justice, not just speaking it.
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
And the others? What else do we believe here and hold as true?
Be open to being wrong.
The golden rule.
A commitment to nonviolence.
Prayer is a form of action, and action is a form of prayer.
Welcome, stranger.
Yeah, I mean, there's all of these things, right? There's so much more. If I were to have given you a day to think about it and gave you a list of things, you would probably come up with so many more things in the world and in our space that we would hold as true. You know, I think, you know, we seek wisdom. I love, Craig, you lifted up being open to be wrong. That's one of those things that I would like to say that I believe is true about myself, but I'm not actually sure that I do that. So a lot of truths are also aspirational, right? These are the things that we hold as what we're trying to become. We have glimpses of it, and we're trying to become that. And that is not the same in other places, right? This is not a common gospel. If I were to open that space up in some traditions and some streams of our sibling Christian communities, it would be very different. And so I think part of this preservation of the truth is then how do we actually make sure it lives on? And I'd encourage you to answer that in the chat. Like, what do we do to preserve it? Because it is not just about just believing something, but it's about preserving it. And again, it can't be make sure the church survives, because that is motivation that is based on our own needs and our own yearnings to simply most of the time stay the same. And so what we have to be able to do is to think about what does it mean for the church to be the truth to be preserved, and how we have done that in the past and how that informs us into the future. So I want to think about that for us today. One of the ways that we must preserve the truth is to tell our gospel story in ways that others can hear it. Now, there's two elements to this, right? That Acts passage, right? We're telling the gospel story. We're not telling other stories. Like, this is the gospel that we believe in. This, as you heard one another, this is what we believe to be true. There was nothing about how we do it. There was nothing about style. There was nothing about structure. None of you mentioned we believe in committees. Like, maybe you do, but like, that wasn't like our primary means of what we're supposed to be about. Again, I believe in them, but that's not like our faith. Our gospel is not, we are not the gospel of committees and ministry teams. We are the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so how do we tell that story in ways that can hear it, using our structure and who we are? Again, I'm not discounting our lives as Presbyterians, but I think we have to really take that seriously. If we're going to preserve this story, we have to tell it in a way that others can hear it, which means that we have to tell it in a way that maybe you and I, we did not hear it ourselves. And that is a big ask. That is a huge ask. Because none of us wants to feel like we can't hear the thing. You know, as I am, wherever I am these days, right? I'm either a younger person, I'm an old person. It's all relative. I know I'm the age of some of your children. Some of you are much younger than me. I mean, I think we have this whole breadth, but I do know that as I get older, right, and I'm in my 50s and I look back on my heyday of, you know, what vision of Bruce did I like the best as a young person, I think about how I did things and what I did things. What are the things that gave me life? And what are those things that when I think about them, bring back the best of what, you know, I believed and experienced in the world. And that's what has transformed me. But those things are going to be different. I remember actually making mixtapes as an example, right? There was something about, and I'm going to age, I don't know if age myself, but some of you will get this, right? You had a cassette player, and you had a radio, and you hit record, and you tried to stop recording before the DJ started talking again, and then you'd hit find a song again, and you would write every song down this list on the cassette tape jacket, and you give it to somebody. And I don't know how many kind of love letter mixtapes I created in high school, right? That was a way that we told our truths and our stories. And it may be cute now, but it's not the same. Like, we experience life and we'll experience the gospel in different ways now. And we have to be able to do that and be willing and not resent the fact that it's being told in a different way. I'm now at that stage where my kids will talk about stuff and I have no idea who or what they're talking about. But I know that we have raised them with a foundation of justice and caring. And so whatever they're talking about or whoever they're talking about is they're thinking about the personhood of other people or songs or entertainment or music, whatever it is that's going on, that it's grounded in this truth of love and justice that we have hoped to pass on. And that's how it survives. It's not the way I heard it. It's not the way I can tell it. But others hear the gospel in unique ways that maybe I didn't. And that's a hard ask, but it's something that we have to do because it's our job right now as those of us that kind of hold space, that are given the privilege of being church together, that we create that space for the story to be told in ways that maybe you and I can't even hear it. Maybe ways that some of us have a glimpse into. And so we create this space, we curate a space. When I talk about curating the space, it means that I don't have to create all the content, but we create a space that gives glimpses into the truths that we hope to pass on. And so we curate that space for that story that you have mentioned before to be told in ways that we may not be able to hear it, but others can. For the reality is, you and I will not live. Oh, that's his love forever. That was supposed to be live forever. Love the typo. I don't know what that means. You and I will not live forever. We will love forever, but we will not live forever. Our truths die with us unless we figure out a way to preserve them, which means passing those along, which means that know that the way the truth is preserved is that we pass it on to those who will preserve it once again. It isn't about passing on really even the specifics of what we do. We don't pass on structure. We can pass on ritual. We can pass on things that give meaning. But for the sake of the survival of the gospel we believe in, it is not simply the bounded things in which we have all grown up with. It is about passing on the truth. And I sit in the same place as Paul. And it may be uncomfortable. But I, within the law, within the truth that we've said, I'm almost kind of willing and rejoice in speaking and being with people in a way that they can hear it. It is not a falsehood. It is not a bait and switch. It is an understanding of who is listening. And we speak in a way that they will hear the truth that we offer. And that is the way that it is preserved. It is not just about survival of an institution. It is about this faith that you have mentioned, this faith that is far bigger than even what we've spoken today, this faith that transformed you and it transformed me. And if we believe that to be true, we will do all that we can to preserve it. We will know what we believe is true. We'll believe in that faith, and we will act in ways that it lives on far beyond our particular physical bodies. This is a powerful challenge to us, not just as our congregation, but the ilk of a Christian faith that believes in love and justice, welcoming the stranger, believing that we should be open to being wrong, all the things that you have mentioned, those things that sit in your mind and your heart and your soul and compel you to be in community. Those are the things that we preserve because those are the truths that God has spoken to you and to me and to us. And we're called, we are challenged, we are compelled and convicted to preserve those truths. Let us pray. Oh, and gracious God, for the spirit that is in this place, the spirit that continues to move us, the spirit that challenges us to speak and hear, to see others in new ways, in different ways, so that the truth that we have held on to, that has formed and transformed us, we speak that into the world so others may hear it and it may be preserved. Help us to move from survival into preservation. Help us to move from scarcity into abundance. Help us to move from holding on to letting go so that your truth, the truth that you've taught us, may live. We pray all this in the name of Christ. And God's people say, amen.